Today, we'll have my June trip report. That's coming up on this episode 178 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 178. So today's episode is my own trip report from June, where I do daily updates and that get published live while I'm at Disney World, and then I stitch them together into one full episode, which is this one. I do have at the end a final update and sort of overall thoughts about this trip, as well as the winner of the Toy Story themed ears. So if you heard the daily updates, please skip to the end to catch that. But without any further ado, here are the daily updates from my June 2018 trip. This is the end of Sunday, June 24th, and the first day of what I am dubbing the accidentally bougie trip. So, travel days are never super eventful, but I wanted to take some time to explain why it's an accidentally bougie trip. So the flight here today was first class, and I do not book myself first class usually, but when I went to book the flights, they were about the same price as the regular main cabin flight. So I just booked first class. It's actually cheaper, I think, to book first class if you add in all the checked luggage that's included in a first class ticket. Plus, they bring a lot of wine on board, and each one of those would cost money if you had to pay for it. So it ended up being either the same price or even a little bit cheaper to book first class. So that was the first thing that started this trip. And then checked in at the yacht club. And originally I booked the yacht club for the end of June. Before they even announced Toy Story Land was opening end of June, I booked it because I had a hunch that might happen and I wanted to be within walking distance of Toy Story Land, of Hollywood Studios, when it opens. And so I just booked the yacht club, and it satisfied the need to be within walking distance of Hollywood Studios, but also it's one of two resorts that I have yet to stay at. So I just booked it for that reason. And then summer promotions came out, and when that happened, club level ended up being the same cost as the regular room that I had already booked. So then again, I'm accidentally bougie with the room, because I didn't intend to stay club level, but if it's going to be the same price, then I'm going to stay club level. So that's why this is the accidentally bougie trip. And when you stay club level, you get extra perks outside of the normal, like turn down service and the lounge. You can buy fast passes and get reserved seating in the parks. And so we've done that for a few nights this trip. So that's an extra fancy thing. That is where we are at. So we did arrive today, Heather and I did, and we took an Uber from the airport to the hotel. And then we went to get some Magic Bands connected. I bought Magic Bands online. We got them connected to our room. If you do any Magic Bands that are outside the ones that you are sent with your resort room, you should go to the desk and make sure they work to get into your room, because a lot of times they will not. So every trip I go to the front desk and I ask for them to check and see if they can make sure my Magic Bands will open the door. I've learned that the hard way. A lot of times I get stuck, you know, locked out, because not all Magic Bands will work on the door, but they can help you with that. They also can divide up the room charges on a room. So there's three of us in a room and we all have our own charges, and you can do that. If you do the information online ahead of time, then you can only enter one card, but at the desk at the hotel, you can enter cards for everybody, so that when everyone does their own room charges, they are billed individually, which is great when you have multiple adults that want to pay their own way. So we did that, and we went to the club lounge for a while, because there's candy and wine and appetizers, and so that was a really nice way to just chill out after traveling for a while. And then we had dinner at Ale and Compass. Ale and Compass is a restaurant at the yacht club. It's new, and so I'd never been there before. And it replaced, what was the old restaurant called? Captain's Grill, I think. And I had been there before and didn't like it at all. Super slow service. But this was a lot better, and the food was delicious. prices were very reasonable. And so that was a really good dinner. Did a bit of walking around the evening. This afternoon it was raining, so this evening it was nice to walk around. And then we went back to the club lounge just to sit and chat. There's a balcony out there. And now we're back to the room. So not a ton of stuff here on the very first day. But and actually the next couple of days we won't have a ton of stuff either, because most of the activities that we have booked are for later in the week. So we are going to not set alarms for tomorrow. We're going to go to Stormalong Bay, which is the amazing pool here at the resort. I have avoided pools for years because being in a swimsuit is just not super fun. And I decided that I need to stop doing that. So I went and bought a swimsuit, and we are going to go to the pool tomorrow and kind of just take it easy. But we will have a lot more things that we've booked to do later this week. So y'all just have to stay tuned to see how it goes. I'll be back here tomorrow night to let you know. It is the end of day two, end of Monday, and I said in the last update that we didn't have anything planned today, which was not totally right, because I forgot that we had a Bon Voyage meal. It was breakfast, but our reservation time was at 11:50, so really it was like breakfast for lunch. And so I wanted to tell you about that. The reason I booked the Bon Voyage breakfast is because I previously did not have a good experience there, and that was pretty close to right after it opened. So it was, they were very new, the cast members hadn't quite worked the kinks out, and I just didn't have a good experience there. And people who had eaten there around that time told me that they had had a similar experience. But recently, as you have heard, if you listen to the trip reports, people have been talking about how much they love the Bon Voyage breakfast. And there's actually, I have three podcast trip reports that have been recorded but haven't been published yet. And there's, it just, more and more people just keep saying it. So I thought, well, while I'm here on the boardwalk, I should definitely give it another try. And I'm here to tell you, it was great. So the service was fantastic. The food was great. The characters were great. All the things I disliked before were great. And I can totally see why people love it. And I can officially say that I recommend it. However, getting there is not easy. If you are not staying on the boardwalk like we are, or if you're not going to just make it like a lunch that you do while you're at Epcot, it's very hard to get there. So if you do plan to do Bon Voyage breakfast, then I would highly recommend that you either have your own car or get a taxi, Uber, Lyft, minivan, etc., because it is a beast to get to on Disney transportation. So Bon Voyage breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno was a success. After that, we came back to the hotel and we decided that we were going to spend the afternoon at Stormalong Bay. As I said last night, I had not done the pool thing in a long time, but I didn't want to keep doing that because it seems a shame to not take advantage of there being a great pool. So we did. We were on the Lazy River for a long time. We went down the waterside. We ordered, how do you pronounce it? Schaffenhofer, the great food beer, which they apparently sell at all the pools here. But I just don't go to the pools that much, so I didn't know that. But anyway, we ordered that, which they brought to our seats. And then there was a storm coming in, so I had everybody evacuate. And so that was a good time for us to leave, get cleaned up. And then we actually spent the evening just in the club lounge at the hotel, where there's lots of food and drinks. And that was it. So we just got back to the room from there. Tomorrow we have a Cape May Cafe breakfast. We're doing everything on the boardwalk pretty much since we're here. Cape May Cafe is in the beach club and it's character breakfast. I've done it before, but just not in a while. So I thought we would go ahead and do that tomorrow. We might dip into Epcot. Most of our plans are towards the end of the week after tomorrow. And so we're just sort of taking it easy right now and really doing things we wouldn't normally do. So I promise there will be some more events to talk about later in the week. But for now, we're just sort of taking it easy and enjoying this downtime while we have it. So I'll be back tomorrow night to give you an update about Cape May Cafe. And then later this week, we have the Marceline tour at Magic Kingdom. We have the Toy Story Land. We have another character meal at the Dolphin Swan hotels. We have several different things planned. So stay tuned and check back for how the rest of the trip goes. I'll be back here tomorrow. This is the end of Tuesday. It feels like we've been here for a week, but I think this is only our... We've actually only had two full days. This is the third night, I guess. Which is weird because we haven't been super busy. We've been intentionally taking it easy because things get really busy as the week goes on. And we really wanted to just take advantage of the club lounge and the pool and nearby restaurants and all that kind of stuff. So we are definitely doing that thing that I always preach, which is take advantage of the things where you're at. And if you're on the boardwalk, beach club, etc. area, then there's lots of things to do, especially with restaurants. So we did another one today, which was the Cape May Cafe breakfast. Cape May Cafe for breakfast is a character meal and for dinner is not, much like Trattoria Al Forno, where we had breakfast yesterday. It is a character meal for breakfast and not for dinner. So this is another one of those. I have been to Cape May Cafe for breakfast and dinner in the past, but it had been a few years. So I wanted to go back. And it's okay. I think definitely if you are staying here, it's a good one to, you know, take advantage of it because you can just walk there. But for me, it's not super great, like enough that I would want to come in from another resort to do it. Whereas I actually liked Bon Voyage enough that if I really like those characters or if you really like those characters, then I can see kind of trying to go out of your way to get there if you want to. But Cape May Cafe, just not super exciting, but not like bad. It's the characters are in, they're classic characters except for Mickey. Mickey's not there, but they're in swimsuits and there's an omelet bar and then there's a breakfast buffet with standard things, including Mickey waffles. So it's okay, but not like super amazing or anything. And so we did that. Then we headed into Epcot and we just kind of had a few errands to run, really. One of those was I got a Tables in Wonderland card. I've never had a Tables in Wonderland card. That, if you've never heard of that, it is a card that you can buy when you have an annual pass. And when you have the card, you get a discount on food and alcohol, plus you get valet parking. And so, you know, I'm here enough that I needed to do that. Another person that's in our group always has a Tables in Wonderland card, and it's just kind of a pain for her to have to show hers, and then sometimes she has to pay for it and then have to pay her back. And so this will work. It lasts for a year. So just having those discounts on food, alcohol, plus valet parking will be convenient. So you have to get that at Guest Relations in the parks or in Disney Springs. So I did that at Guest Relations inside Epcot. And then had to look for a couple things in the shops. And then we decided to see if we could snag a fast pass. So we went to Living with the Land. And when we were trying to come out of the land building, it was raining so hard. I don't know if I've ever seen it rain that hard. And I have been here all times a year for, you know, many times. And I don't think I've ever seen it rain that hard. So we ended up camping out inside the land building for probably an hour waiting for the rain to clear. And it eventually did, so we were able to walk back. While we were at Epcot, we also went up to the DVC Lounge. DVC members have access to a couple of lounges at Disney World. One of them is in Epcot, and it's just a great view. And when you go up there, you can have soft drinks and snacks, and it's just a great place to relax. They have chargers, so you can recharge your phone and stuff. The other lounge that is for DVC members is Top of the World Lounge, which is at the top of Bay Lake Tower. And it's a great view of fireworks and things up there. So anyway, we just did that. So tomorrow we are taking a minivan at 6:30 or 6:45 in the morning so that we can go to Magic Kingdom, because we're doing the Marceline tour. And we're taking a minivan so that we can make sure we get there on time. And then that lasts for a few hours. Then we have some fast passes at Magic Kingdom. And then tomorrow night we have a dinner reservation for Garden Grove. And this is not one that I've ever had. It's in the Swan Hotel and it is a character meal. So we are just going to try it because I've never been before. And I'm hoping it's like a hidden gem, and because it's less expensive than the regular Disney ones, but I've never done it, so I don't know. So I'll be back here tomorrow night to let you know how it went. So this is a recap of our fourth day, which was Wednesday, but I'm recording this on Thursday around noon because our day ended, spoiler alert, at Jelly Rolls, which is a dueling piano bar on the boardwalk. And there were strong drinks being served, and I didn't think it was a good idea to record myself at that time. So I'm recording it now instead. I have a few more things to talk about because it wasn't quite as chill of a day as the other days had been. So our day began very early. We had a Marceline to Magic Kingdom tour scheduled at Magic Kingdom, and we needed to check in by 7:45. So we went ahead and booked a minivan. I had hoped the minivans could be scheduled ahead of time, like other Lyft and Uber rides are, but you can't. So you just have to call it when you want it. And so we called the minivan to come and get us. It is $25 no matter where you're going on Disney World property. The best use of minivans, in my opinion, are people with little kids that feel safer and want the two car seats that are included. And in our case, being able to be dropped off at the Magic Kingdom bus stops is a huge perk. Another great time to use minivans is if you have to go to Pioneer Hall at Fort Wilderness, which is where Hoop-Dee-Doo Review is and Trails and Restaurants. And there's a few things right there because cars can't go there, but minivans can. So anyway, we did book a minivan to drop us right off in front of Magic Kingdom. We got checked in at the front. There's a special line. If you have breakfast reservations or tour reservations, there's a different line. And so they allow you to go over there. And then we checked in at the front of the park and we started our tour. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens on the tour, but it's not guaranteed this is always going to be the case. But likely it'll have a lot in common with what I'm about to say. So the tour began at the front of the park, and we kind of just made our way down Main Street, and we were being told the history of Walt and, you know, how he got his start in Marceline, Missouri, and that kind of stuff. A lot of history. And then about an hour in, I want to say, we got to go to the Haunted Mansion, and our guide, we had earpieces in, and our guide had a microphone, and she narrated the Haunted Mansion ride as we rode it, pointing out details along the way. And that was really fun. But then when we got off, we actually got to go backstage and see how the Haunted Mansion ballroom scene is done. So we went behind, we got to see all the effects and how they do it. And that is a bucket list thing for me. I have read online other people, like cast members who have gotten photos. You can't take photos. I did not take photos, but in the past people have, and I just happened to see those online before. So I was really, really, really wanted to see that. And so we were able to do that. We then got on It's a Small World, and we had our own boat, and the guide once again sort of narrated that and talked about the woman who made all the costumes and just sort of the history of the ride, which was lovely. And then we walked through the park, you know, a bit more, and ended up back at Carousel of Progress. And we once again got to ride just with our group, and she talked through the attraction. Carousel of Progress, I know, is very important to Disney history. I don't happen to love the attraction. I just don't, but I have a new appreciation for it now that we've had the guide who kind of talked through it and sort of the backstory. So that was very, very nice. So it's about 3 hours, and which is a really good length, a really great combination of history and backstage access and a guide that can tell you, you know, things that you've never heard before. I have done the Keys of the Kingdom tour in the past, which is longer. So on that, you get even more history. And you get lunch, but if you want a slightly shorter one, this was a really great link, I think. So once again, it's called the Marceline to Magic Kingdom tour, and I can highly recommend it. If you want to see pictures of it, I did post pictures on my Instagram story, although at this point, they are likely, expiring because they only stay on there for 24 hours. But very, very good tour. After that, we did mobile ordering and ate at Pecos Bills. Then we had some fast passes booked. I think we ended up only using one to meet Tiana. I think Tiana is one of the best characters at Magic Kingdom, and she's in Princess Fairytale Hall. So we had a fast pass to go meet her. And then we left and took a break back in the hotel room because we had had an early start to our day. Then we went to the Garden Grove Restaurant, which is at the Swan. We're totally trying to take advantage of this whole boardwalk area and do as much as we can. We had dinner scheduled there. Now, this is a character meal. They do have dinner every day and breakfast on the weekends, I believe, with characters. And that was a really interesting, not in a good way, experience. The actual restaurant is really pretty because it is a solarium, kind of, I think that's what you'll call it, a solarium. Really pretty. It's not busy at all. Chip and Dale and Pluto were there, and you know, you get lots of attention from the characters because nobody's there. Unfortunately, the restaurant itself had really terrible service, and of the three entrees we ordered, they weren't great. And we just kept having to get things fixed. Our checks were not right. And it was just, I just can't recommend it. I was hoping to love it because then it would be an easy character meal to book. And it's essentially on property because it's in the boardwalk area. But sadly, I cannot recommend it. But I'm glad to have tried it because you just never know. And then after we left there, we went and rented a Surrey bike, which is something you can do in a few places at Disney World. And we took it all the way around the water here on the boardwalk twice. It is so fun. It is not easy because you have to go uphill and it's hot and there's lots of people, but it was really fun. And I think we laughed the whole time. Then finally, after the Surrey bike, we went to Jelly Rolls, which is a dueling piano bar. And we were there for a few hours. And I think it was a $15 cover charge. And it's fun. It wasn't super busy, so it was easy to get our requests done there. And that's a fun, like, adult thing to do if you're interested in options. Today, we are going to Disney After Hours, which is at Magic Kingdom. It is my favorite paid event. I've never done it in the summer because this is the first day. Today is the first day it's ever been offered in the summer, but I've been before when it was offered in January. And but this will be the first time I think Heather has been, so it'll be fun to go with her. And I hope that it'll be just as fun as it was last time I went. So I'll be back here tomorrow or tonight to let you know all about that. This is the end of Thursday. It's very late this time because we just got back from the Disney After Hours event. This is the first time it has been offered in the summer. This was the first offering of the summer, and it is currently scheduled to go through September. I previously did Disney After Hours in January, I think about a year and a half ago, and I was excited to go back and see how it was different in the summer. The thing I was most afraid about was that they would oversell it, so it wouldn't be as light. The crowds wouldn't be as light as it was last time, because being able to walk on the rides is amazing. But the crowds were very light tonight. The differences, I think there are more rides open tonight, including the People Mover. I need to go back and double check, because there's a post on the site already and we just need to update it with the summer information. There were more rides, I think, open. The People Movers on that I immediately thought of. And there was music playing in the parks. I remember it being eerily quiet last time. And when I did the survey afterwards, I mentioned that it was weird to have no music playing in the park, but it was definitely playing tonight. And the snacks, because part of Disney After Hours is that you get bottled drinks and like ice cream snacks. They were a little bit harder to get this time, because last time we could find the snack carts all through the park and there was no wait. We could easily pick up stuff all night, but tonight there was a little bit more of a wait and a little bit more distance between the different carts. But let me backtrack. If you've never heard of Disney After Hours, it is a special ticketed event, and you have to pay $119 is the normal rate for a ticket. You get to go in as early as 7 p.m. I think the ending time varies depending on your date, but it was at 1 a.m. for us tonight. And you get basically that time, that is 6 hours, in the park with very few crowds for the actual party portion of it. So the party portion of it for us was 10 to 1, but we could go in at 7. The nice thing about being able to go in at 7 with a ticket is that you can watch the fireworks, because the fireworks don't take place during the party. So you can ride any rides that aren't open during the party, and you can watch the fireworks. And then around 10 o'clock, people start to flood out, and then you have the park to yourself from 10 to 1. I made notes of all the things that we did just to give you an idea of how much is possible. So from 10 to 11, we did Jungle Cruise, met Cinderella and Elena, and did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and met Ariel. So that was just in the first hour. Second hour, Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, Dumbo, Mad Tea Party, Space Mountain, and Astro Orbiter. And then for the last hour, Buzz Lightyear, the Speedway, took pics in front of the castle, and then grabbed one last snack on the way out. We probably could have done even more if we wanted to, but we definitely had a very leisurely pace. But it is really, it is my favorite ticketed event, I think, because you can do so much in a little amount of time. And now that this is a summer option, I think if I was coming for like a week-long trip in the summer, I would do this instead of a regular park ticket for Magic Kingdom, because you can get so much done in such a little time. If you think about your tickets being how many attractions you can visit in a four-year ticket price, then this is a really good value. If you think of your tickets as being number of hours spent in the park, it may not feel like that to you, but you can get as much done in these few hours as you can all day in the park, probably. A couple other things that are other than just rides, but that you can do is you can meet characters. We stopped and met, as I mentioned, Ariel and Cinderella and Elena. And the kids that were interested in meeting the characters really got to spend a lot of time with them. And I think that is fantastic if you have kids that are really into the characters. The only characters that were available were the Cinderella, Elena, Rapunzel, Tiana, and then I think Mickey Mouse and Tinkerbell. So not all of them, but the ones that normally have fast passes are available. So that's really nice. And then the ability to get pictures in front of the castle. There's lots of photo pass photographers out, and there's very few people in the park. So the pictures are, you know, less crowded. So I think that's a really nice thing. Anyway, I think it's still my favorite ticketed event, and it's a really good value. There is a post on the site that is helpful, and it'll be updated with this new summer information. The only other thing I didn't mention is that we did eat beforehand at Yachtsman Steakhouse, which is right here at the hotel. That's one of my favorite restaurants, but we only had soup and salad today. It was shockingly unbusy, and I got the reservation right before we went. So it's just funny how summer crowds are so different. The ability to get dining reservations is pretty easy, and the fact that there is a ticketed event at Magic Kingdom should tell you all you need to know about summer crowds these days. So tomorrow we actually are starting the first of 3 days where we have purchased fast passes, and the last two days are for Toy Story Land. This first one is for Animal Kingdom. So our first two fast passes are for the Pandora attractions, and then we also got the regular fast passes. So we'll be at Animal Kingdom most of the day tomorrow, and then tomorrow night we have reserved seating for Illuminations. This is the first time using these signature service fast passes, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it works out, and I'll be back here tomorrow to let you know. All right, this is the end of Friday, and let's see, it's been a long day. I'm trying to remember what we did today. So we started at Animal Kingdom. We had fast passes that were paid for ahead of time because we got that from staying club level. And we really were interested in the Toy Story Land fast passes, but there's a minimum of 3 days. So we did Animal Kingdom one as well. So we showed up at Animal Kingdom to do the two Pandora attractions, and it was really nice to be able to do those back to back. And then it started pouring down raining, so we weren't able to use our third one, and we actually left Animal Kingdom because it was raining for so long, it wasn't going to clear up anytime soon. So we came back to the hotel without any real plans. And then on Twitter, people started talking about how Toy Story Land was soft opening. And we had plans to go tomorrow, but instead we went tonight. It was still raining a little bit, but not nearly as bad as earlier today. So when we got into the park, we decided to go into a couple of the shops first because they had some exclusive merchandise and we weren't sure if it was going to sell out. While we were shopping, we ran into Zack Ryder, who is a WWE wrestler and has been a podcast listener and social media follower for a long time. Hello, Zach. And it was fun to see him in person. I think we were kind of both staring at each other like we recognized each other, but had never met. So it was fun to see him. And then we made our way back eventually to Toy Story Land. If you are a Twitter user, you may have read some negative opinions about it. So I was kind of bracing myself. But then again, Diz Twitter is kind of always negative. But it was surprisingly cute. We haven't gone on the rides yet because tomorrow we have fast passes, but we walked through everything, watched other people riding, took lots of pictures, and it's bigger than expected. And I think it's a lot cuter than I thought. And the rides look really fun. So tomorrow we will get to experience those, and hopefully they will be enjoyable. But overall, first impressions were really good, even in the rain. And if you would like to see pictures, there are lots of those on Instagram, regular Instagram profile, but also on Instagram stories. So go ahead and check those out. But tomorrow we'll have firsthand accounts of what it's like to actually go on the rides. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we also are going to try to eat at Woody's Lunchbox. Is that what it's called? Woody's Lunchbox. They should have mobile ordering available tomorrow, which will make it easier. And their menu actually looks really great. So we'll have that to tell you all about tomorrow. I also wanted to mention hello to Leslie. We ran into her husband, Animal Kingdom, this morning and didn't get a chance to meet her, but I am told by her husband that she is a listener. So hello to Leslie. Anyway, so follow along on Instagram, especially Instagram stories tomorrow if you'd like to see how the official opening of Toy Story Land goes. I'll be back here tomorrow to let you know all about it. This is the end of day 7 on Saturday, and today's main attraction was the Toy Story Land attractions. As I mentioned last night, we did go to Toy Story Land and see it because they soft opened, and we didn't want to stand in the lines because we had fast passes for today, but we did go and see it. We knew it was very cute, but today we actually got to go and ride the attractions. People in general, as I understand it, started arriving quite early, around 5 or 6 a.m., and I believe they decided to go ahead and open Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Land in particular, around 6 a.m. because of the crowds and allow them in. At one point, there was up to a 90-minute wait just to enter Toy Story Land. So if you're familiar with how Hollywood Studios is laid out, the line went all the way from Toy Story Land, which is behind Toy Story Mania, and it wrapped around all the way down Pixar Place and in front of where the Great Movie Ride used to be. Very, very, very long ride. Up to 90 minutes in that line. And then once you're in Toy Story Land, there was a few hour wait, in particular for Slinky Dog Dash. So we're talking like 4 or 5 hours in total for some people out in the June sun in the summer Orlando weather. It was just horrible. However, we did have fast passes, so they were allowing people into Toy Story Land that had fast passes as long as it was within 15 minutes of your fast pass time. So we were able to bypass that. A lot of people have asked me, especially on Instagram, how we were able to get fast passes for all the attractions. We are staying club level, which is why the trip is called Accidentally Bougie. And so we were able to buy fast passes ahead of time. When you buy fast passes ahead of time, it is $50 a day per person, and you were able to tell them whatever fast passes you want. And so when I called 2 or 3 months ago, I said, I want all of the Toy Story Land fast passes. And that's what we got. So that is how we were able to get them. So basically for $50, we were able to not wait for hours and hours and hours in the sun and eventually the rain, because there was another downpour this afternoon. So it was really good use of the purchase fast passes, if you ask me. And so once we got into Toy Story Land, our first fast pass was for the Alien Swirling Saucers. And I was really glad that that ended up being our first one, because although it was very cute and very similar to the Tomater, whatever it's called, at California Adventure in Disneyland, it's super cute and kids are going to like it. It pales in comparison to Slinky Dog coaster, which exceeded all of our expectations. It is an outdoor coaster, so you can definitely see what it looks like. You can see the path and what the ride vehicle looks like and all that kind of stuff. But going on it is much more thrilling than you might think. And I think it is probably the most thrilling of all of the kid coasters. So people have asked me to rank it compared to Big Thunder, compared to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It is sort of in between those, but because it has a bit more of a drop to it, it's kind of got a thrill factor that the others don't. It has two segments, basically, to the ride. You take off and ride for a while, then you slow down, you take off again. And there's just some nice drops that make it a little bit more thrilling than the other smaller coasters. I think it's going to be hugely popular. It's super, super cute. And I was so happy that we got to do that after the Alien Swirling Saucers. It's definitely going to be the most popular attraction in Toy Story Land and in all of Hollywood Studios. It is like the flight of passage of Hollywood Studios. So knowing that, you definitely want to try to get a fast pass, or you need to go there first thing when the park opens. With Flight of Passage being so popular at Animal Kingdom, they have started opening Animal Kingdom earlier and allowing people in earlier to queue for that ride. They may end up doing the same thing for Slinky Dog Dash. So if your plan is to rope drop it, then you should probably plan to be quite early in case they end up doing that. But anyway, really great ride. We also did ride Toy Story Mania, which is not a new ride, but it has been modified to incorporate it into Toy Story Land. So the queue now faces the back of it, the opposite side of it. And they brought back Mr. Potato Head to the queue because previously they had taken him away. So it's the same ride, but it's obviously just incorporated with a new land. So cute as always, but it's not going to be nearly as popular as Slinky Dog Dash. So definitely prioritize Slinky Dog if you are trying to strategize for your trip. I did want to mention, first of all, we'll be back tomorrow with those same fast passes to do it again. We also do leave tomorrow, so we have to go to resort check-in at the resort to get our luggage checked in with our airlines, and then we will head over and then we fly home tomorrow night. So after tonight, I'll have one more update about how the second day of riding things in Toy Story Land went. I did want to mention before I go that I have a giveaway. While I was at Hollywood Studios, I picked up two different ears, the Slinky Dog Dash headband. You may have seen pictures of that. They have been... I said Slinky Dog Dash. It's the Slinky Dog headband, not necessarily the Slinky Dog Dash. And then the Martian ears from Toy Story. They're both very cute, and I am doing them as a giveaway only to podcast listeners. I'm not posting this on social media or anywhere else. So just look at the photo of the ears in the show notes, as well as the link to enter the giveaway. I will pick a winner on July 5th. I will email that person, and I will announce it on the podcast. So go ahead and enter if you would like two sets of ears from the Toy Story Land opening, and I will send those out to you later this week. So that is it for now, and I will be back tomorrow or within the next couple of days to let you know how our last day went, and we'll wrap up this trip. So I'll see you back here then. And I am recording this last final update and outro for this podcast a couple days after getting home. I wanted to give you a quick overview of how the last part went and just some overall thoughts about this trip. The last day, Sunday, Heather and I went back to Toy Story Land before our flights left that evening. We did resort airline check-in at our resort, and I only mention that because you don't have to use Magical Express to use resort airline check-in on your way home, as long as you're on a participating airline. So we did that, and then we took our carry-on bag to the Bell Services desk at the yacht club, and then we took an Uber over to Hollywood Studios. We could have taken a boat, we could have walked, but the Uber was like $3.50. And worth it, or it's supposed to be. Sometimes the Uber drivers will take a longer route so that they get paid more, and that was one of those situations. But anyway, we did get to Hollywood Studios, and our only goal on that day was to do the Toy Story Land attractions again because we had the fast passes that we had purchased ahead of time. And silly us thought, oh man, we can't get super sweaty. We have to board a plane. So we're going to take it really easy and try to stay cool. And I think we were drenched in sweat within 30 minutes. Toy Story Land is just hot. And that is my only complaint about Toy Story Land. It is so, so, so hot. And we did it with fast passes. So if you are going to do Toy Story Land, and I assume a lot of you are, if you have future trips planned, I would take an umbrella an umbrella is something I've never packed for a trip before because in the rain, I prefer ponchos. But I would take an umbrella if you're going to be out in the sun waiting. I would make sure that you have cold water and fans. I always have a handheld fan in my purse at all times. You may prefer a battery operated type thing, but I would just prepare, especially during the hotter months. And let's face it, most of the months in Orlando are hot. But anyway, we did Toy Story Land and once again, just really loved it. It's a charming place, just a hot place. We did go to Woody's Lunchbox, which is the new quick service location in Toy Story Land. The menu looks really great, and so I wanted to try it while we were there. We did mobile ordering, and once again, when we went to pick it up, they made us stand in the sun and they had a whole stack of cups pre-filled with water, ice cold water, and they were handing them out to the people in the mobile order line because we had to wait so long. It's very difficult to find seating, so just prepare for that. Menu is good, food's good, but seating and especially seating where it is not in the sun is difficult to find. So just prepare for that. We did make our way back to the Yacht Club for a little while before we headed out. I actually went to the Yacht Club gift shop and bought all new clothes because I was so sweaty and I had checked all my clothes and I just really wanted to wear something that wasn't gross on the plane. Since we were staying club level, we still had access to the club lounge. So we were able to go there and get some drinks and snacks while we waited and then Ubered back to the airport. Now, the first time I called an Uber back to the airport, the person that picked it up, the driver, had a very low rating. And I was nervous about that because the drive to the airport is long. And so I canceled it and ended up requesting another person who was the best Uber driver I've ever had. He had the car decorated for the 4th of July. He had cold drinks and snacks and all the charger cords and just all kinds of things available to anybody who rides with him. And then when we got out, he handed us a gift, which was just like a bag of little candies. But anyway, he was really great. So I think the lesson here is don't settle. Like that first person that I requested had a very low rating, and I'm glad that I tried again because they got a really pleasant ride on the way to the airport. It was a fun way to end the trip. So now I'm back home, and I've already kind of shared my overview thoughts about Toy Story Land. The Yacht Club is something else I wanted to talk about. Now, as many of you know, I have stayed at all of the Disney World resorts now, except for Grand Floridian, which is so weird. I've been there so many times that I feel like I stayed there, but I haven't. But that's the only one left on my list. Yacht Club was the other one I needed to stay on, which is why we went there this trip. Beach Club is my favorite Disney World resort, probably. That and maybe the Contemporary or Polynesian. And Yacht Club is a sister resort to Beach Club. It's connected. They share a pool. You can easily navigate between the two of them. So anyway, it has a lot in common, but it is much darker. Beach Club is much more bright and beachy, whereas Yacht Club is much darker and more masculine. It is a convention hotel, and while we were there, there was a convention going on, or multiple conventions going on. So you do end up with lots of business people, lots of adults, which may appeal to many of you and may not appeal to others. But it has a lot in common with Beach Club. I still much prefer the Beach Club, but the Yacht Club is a nice option as well. I've stayed at all the resorts in the Boardwalk area, and I would say that I would rank them in the order that they appear. So Beach Club is my favorite, then the Yacht Club, then the Swan and Dolphin, and then the Boardwalk. The Boardwalk just doesn't have a lot of appeal to me. It was my first resort that I ever stayed at. And I just don't like having to go outside for a quick service or to refill a mug or to do a lot of things. If you stay in the villas there, you end up all the way on the other end away from Epcot. And I just much prefer Beach Club for an easier trip. So anyway, that is sort of my overview. I've also eaten at all the restaurants and I don't know. It's a nice place to stay. And I especially like it if you want somewhere to go when you are not in the parks. So when my kids got older, the Boardwalk area became very appealing because my daughter in particular likes to go and do things much more than I do. And so if I wanted to be in the hotel room, she could easily go out on the Boardwalk and do things. So there's a lot of appeal to staying in that area. And not to mention that you can walk to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. So that sort of wraps up this trip. My next trip is coming up very quickly. I will be back August 1st through the 5th. This time I'll be back at Pop Century because I'm going on this trip by myself. And I think that Pop Century is the perfect place for a solo traveler because one of the beds can stay up and function as a table or desk. And I really love it. So this trip, I don't have a huge agenda. I just want to start going more often. And so this time I am going by myself. And one last bit of business to do before we wrap this up is I did the Toy Story ear giveaway during my trip. If you were listening to this after my trip, the contest is now closed. And I just picked a name from the list of entries. I chose them randomly. And the name of that person is Stacy P. And I will be emailing Stacy to get information on how to mail those out. So thank you all for participating. I really love doing giveaways for podcast listeners because y'all are the most engaged and fun to interact with. So I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information, including links to various things that were mentioned on this episode, you can head to the site and or look in the show notes. That is www.prepschool.com. Look for podcasts at the top and then look for episode 178. Until next time, I will see you on the site.